Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm Dining Set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bob-a-pedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bob-a-pedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Philadelphia Phillies on radio.com and sports radio 94 WIP.
Ew.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, I could have gone, yo, burm, 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 burm. Yeah, it's
whatever.
Over. It's over. Yeah. You're not going to be giving me any of their going on runs today, are you, buddy? You never know, Jackie.
It was a really inspiring weekend. Really left a lot to be desired.
All right, so official. Yes, they have a 0.7% chance to make the playoffs according to Fangraphs. Yes, theoretically it is technically possible. They ain't making the playoffs. It's over. No. It's done. The 2019 Phillies will go down in the record books as a team that did not make the playoffs, Jack.
Yeah, we're not going to get playoff Nola, which is, you know, very sad. I remember before the season started, you know, we were breaking down spring training games and breakout Pivetta. And
I remember you saying when Bryce Harper was signed,
yeah,
the best thing about this signing,
yeah,
is we get to see playoff Nola.
We'll eventually see playoff Nola, I think.
Someday? I don't know.
I mean, it's been 8 years. It's been 8 years.
Well, that's what I was thinking about before, and it really sucks to put it in these terms, but Jack, we are coming up on a decade of not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
A decade.
I was in high school the last time the Phillies made the playoffs.
Oh, man.
You were in your early 30s.
I knew that was coming. At least that's not that far off. Yeah. Late 20s. It's crazy.
It's crazy
to think about. It has been a really, again, it's so funny because it kind of just slid in there because there was so much futility our whole lives. You know, as Phillies fans, it was just losing his franchise, all that type of stuff. And then 93, that's why we love that team so much, because it was the only team for eons of Phillies baseball that did anything. And then in 08, we finally win it. And we have that run with that team, and it felt like the good times were never going to end. And then they did, and we understood it. And I feel like now it's gotten to the point where it almost snuck up on us that it's about to be a decade without the playoffs, Jack.
Yeah, it's actually, for as bad as it's been, It's been a quick 8 years.
Yeah, somehow, some way.
I remember a lot about the run. Like, I remember everything about the runs. Like
the Tommy Joseph era?
No. I'm talking about like even like 07 to 11. Like,
I got you.
It feels like it
yes.
wasn't that long ago.
No.
And then you see like Scott Ayer's got gray hair and Jamie
yeah,
Moyer.
Jamie Moyer looks like a...
He's like in his 60s.
A sensei or something.
Yeah. So it's crazy. It's been the quickest 8 years of awful baseball.
Oh, man.
And it's just like, man, it was... The thing that kind of sucked about this team... was that it wasn't even a fun bad team.
Like, they weren't it was an infuriating
bad team.
That's the problem.
Two steps forward, one step back.
That was the problem. It was they again, we talked about this, is that if we had just had different expectations and if this season had played out differently, like even if they had had a season like the Mets where there were some really low lows and it was frustrating, but they had that 15-17. They got Pete Alonso going at 50 freaking home runs. Like, yeah. Like it would have been fun at least. It would have felt, I'll bet you that Mets season felt more, and I know they've had their dumpster fire moments, but that season seems a lot more fun than our season.
I mean, to go from the first half where they were just the biggest laughing stock in baseball.
We thought Mickey Callaway was going to get fired after that series where we swept them. We were like, oh, well, Mickey Callaway's screwed.
Yeah.
And now they're ahead of the Phillies.
Yeah. They are ahead of the Phillies.
That's something we don't talk about enough. The Phillies are going to come in fourth place in the NL East somehow.
They are going to come in fourth place.
They're going to come in fourth place.
That's insane.
It's insane, right?
Insane.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Well, at least you get a higher draft pick.
Oh, I love you. That is such a Jack Fritz thing to say right there.
At least you get a higher draft pick.
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm, for as disappointing as the season's been, I still really like our core guys. Like
I know you love love them.
They have
we talk about
they
it.
They have the core. They have the guys. They have building blocks per se. They just have to do a better job of putting talent. Obviously, this is obvious, but putting talent.
They need pitching.
But at least they have the offense.
This is obvious. I'm going to tell you something.
They have the offense, and they also have. Like Bohm's going to come up and be an impact bat.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to come up and be a legitimate middle order bat. Like, Haseley's already kind of proven he's a
major league player.
Yeah. Like, he's going to end up batting like 260 to 320 OBP.
And he's looked like he belongs.
Yeah.
That, I think, you know, for a guy who we weren't expecting him to come up as quickly as he did, he has almost, and he's gotten better, and he had that one little rough stretch, but really from day one, he's looked like a ball player, like a Major League Baseball player, and now he really looks like he belongs. Yeah, I'm with you. And look, there is definitely reason for optimism, and we'll get into all that. It's tough on the, you know, where we just see them get swept by the Red Sox and come to grips with the fact that there's no more hope. There's no more adventure. The hopes are not high, Jack.
No, but
the hopes are low.
Saturday was like a good baseball game.
Sure. And Nola pitched well. Yet again, though, just runs into trouble in the seventh.
He's got an ERA in the eights.
It's crazy. I didn't know the numbers, but anecdotally, it just seemed like every time he just that inning all year long.
Well, the story of the Phillies, the story of Nola is that he'll get to the seventh, but he won't get through the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
The story of the Phillies is that he can never get the hit to put him ahead.
And then they just have no momentum. They can't win game to game.
They can't get him a roll.
It's unbelievable. I don't ever remember a team ever in my time watching the Phillies. We're really watching baseball, and granted, I don't think you would notice it as much if you don't follow the team every day, so probably only affiliates applies, but I don't ever remember a team that was a playoff competitor until, for all intents and purposes, the end of the season, that never went on a run of any kind. Not even like 11 of 12, or, you know, like 14 of 15.
Not allowed.
10 of 12. Like, it's crazy, though. I mean, do you ever remember that? Haven't you ever remember that type of team before?
What? They're the only team in baseball that has maintained a record above 500 the whole entire season.
Yeah,
they have not won more than four games
average,
in a row,
which is great.
Like they won more than four games in a row. They are the weirdest. They're probably the weirdest team. They're the weirdest semi good team in baseball.
Well, if you think about it this way, they are four games above 500. They have essentially played 500 baseball since the first four games of the season.
They're a 500 baseball team.
Literally, that's what they are.
Yeah.
And I think that's, again, I think that if that were the only the reality that we had to come to grips with, it would be easier to not be as upset as we've been throughout and the angst. But again, it's to what you said. It's the way it's happened, the way it's all. And again, it's not just that they like It's that they teased us so many times.
Spring training.
Obviously, the Harper home run, you know, the Grand Slam feels like the biggest tease of all. The Charlie was Zach. Like, that felt like, we said at the time, we're like, if they're going on a run, it's going to be now. They didn't, and they didn't.
No.
So it's not a surprise.
They certainly did not.
But I think that up and down nature of it and the insane amount of gut punch losses they had this season just really makes this seem like a much, much more disappointing season than it probably was.
2019 you know I mean. Phillies video yearbook, blue ball. That's what it is.
That's so perfect.
That's all it was.
That is so perfect.
162 nights of blue balls.
Really, since the moment Bryce Harper was signed, it was just like blue balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, opening weekend.
Yeah.
Was you're like, right. We're getting there. And then squat. It's crazy how fast.
That might be the best analogy ever brought to
it's
this,
crazy yeah. how it's crazy how fast and slow a baseball season goes. Like it's felt like the season has flown by, but it's also been 5 months of just up and down.
Excruciating
baseball.
Devastating nights after awesome days.
But like I'm gonna miss baseball
Me
season.
Me too. And I'm gonna watch the crap out of the playoffs and I'm going to hope the Yankees don't win the World Series. You know, by the way, in case you haven't noticed, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Dodgers are definitely representing the National League, but I did say Yankees over the Cardinals from a World Series.
That's cool.
Still on the board.
All right, just good luck with that one. We'll see how the playoffs work out.
No.
Okay.
So let's see that real quick, just because we're talking about it. What is your, if you had to pick right now, and obviously we don't know the exact playoff field set, but what do you think the World Series matchup is?
The Yankees are chokers. I'm not worried about them.
It's Astros-Dodgers.
That's Astros.
I mean, it's so lame, but it's Astros-Dodgers.
I hope it's Astros-Dodgers.
I do, too. I would love to see that again.
Because I missed the World Series 2 years ago. Because I was doing the morning show at that point.
Oh.
So, like, the freaking 14-inning,
amazing World Series.
It was an unbelievable World
Series.
Seven-gamer. Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm stuck with last year's World Series.
No, I agree. At this point, like, just give me the two super teams and let them go to battle together.
Yeah, and I actually think the Dodgers have a way better chance this year than years past.
I agree. I still think the Astros are the best team, especially, I mean, think about a playoff series where you got to go up against Verlander, Cole, and Greinke. I mean, whew.
Yeah.
Yo, buddy. That is some real deal tough sledding in the playoffs.
Good thing the Dodgers traded Josh Field or traded Jordan Alvarez.
Jordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
Oh,
imagine that was definitely before Friedman was there. Like,
of course it was.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if the Phillies ever made a trade like that? That we never get those trades.
Well,
like
besides Stocker for Abreu.
We never have. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yes. You're right. 20 years ago. Good call.
You're welcome.
And again, we're not talking about No, let's talk about Jordan Alvarez. Bobby Abreu, I'm sorry, I can already say, Bobby Abreu, borderline Hall of Fame player, some people would say Hall of Famer, I don't know, I'm on the fence about it. I would probably lean no, but I would take Jordan Alvarez's potential career over Bobby all day.
Yeah, Jordan Alvarez reminds me of a young Howard.
Yeah, but a young Howard who's built way better. A young Howard who's going to age better.
Ripped Ryan Howard.
That dude's jacked.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Howard, you knew at some point it was going to fall off. That's why I know in the time people didn't, like, I hated the Ryan Howard contract in the moment it happened because I was like, look at the history of baseball. These guys never age well. Not one. Ortiz is like the semi-exception and he DH'd his whole career practically. Like, no one that size, that, you know, build lasts. Jordan Alvarez, that dude could last.
Yeah. So how about those Phillies?
Back to the Phillies. Anyway. See, that's, I can't even talk about him. I get excited talking about their baseball. Anyway, I'm with you. The point is, as you can see from that conversation, I'm going to miss baseball too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to miss baseball. And I mean, I'm going to miss baseball, but I also can't wait for the, like, free agency and the offseason. Like, I don't want to see what they're going to do. I want to see what they're going to do coaching staff wise, like management.
Yes. Well, I'm going to get into that.
I know, but there's just so much intrigue. For as important as last offseason was and landing Bryce Harper,
this could be just as important.
This is just as important.
Yeah.
This changes the trajectory of the team.
Exactly.
Like, you have to re-sign Real Muto.
Yep.
Like, that's got
to
happen.
You have to add a massive starting pitching upgrade. Garrett Cole, potentially.
You have to decide.
It's like $200+ million contract.
You have to decide if you're going to, you don't have to decide this offseason, but it's getting close to that time when you decide what you're going to do with Reese. Like, if you're going to extend him this offseason. Mm-hmm. Like, it's mad. Are you going to bring back Gabe? Are you going to bring back Klentak?
Well, that's where I want to go. I wanted to actually get into the Gabe thing. The Klentak, See, I think Klentak's back.
I think he's back. I don't think he should be back.
No, I don't. I blame Klentak far more than anyone else for the failures of this season. I'm sure over the coming weeks, we're going to dive into the real, all the issues we have with Klentak. I agree. I want Matt Klentak gone. I don't trust him to handle the future of this franchise.
Well, there's been, on the Klentak thing. There's been so much of like, well, everyone got hurt and McCutcheon. And it's it's year four.
Yeah.
It's year four. And he hasn't built solid depth.
Well, that's the problem.
Through anything.
It's the organizational depth that they
don't
have. And
it's the philosophies. It's not signing power pitchers. It's focusing on the wrong things when you're looking at analytics Everything they do is behind the times. Like, Klentak is just a very replaceable, boring GM that can spend the owner's money and doesn't have any kind of foresight or progressiveness.
And you can't... The sport is too smart now. Like, it's too smart. You can't have those guys. These teams are going to lap you. They are lapping you.
Yeah.
The smart teams, the Dodgers, the Rays, all these types of teams are lapping you. And the Phillies, as I've said about a zillion times on here... You look at a team like the Braves, which we've talked about nonstop, how way light years ahead they are in terms of infrastructure, from player talent, from development, from all that stuff, from the players on the major league roster. But the one thing the Phillies can do that they can is they can go out and spend money.
Yes.
They are a big market. Atlanta is not. That's just what it is. Atlanta is historically cheap as a franchise.
Yeah. Well, and
yet they're the ones that signed Dallas Keuchel and we're left holding our,
Yep.
It's great.
But
oh, by the way, Dallas Keuchel pitching in the next game tomorrow night again, so that should be great.
But even if it's spending money on free agents and having that kind of financial flexibility the Phillies do have, which is great, and I'm glad they have it, use that money to build up resources. It's not just about going and signing free agents.
Right.
It's the infrastructure. Yep. Spend all that money on infrastructure and bringing in smart people. Like, that's why this potential Johnny Alvarez replacement is massive. Like, find someone that is from a smart organization that is progressive and spend all the money on building an infrastructure.
Well, you could spend whatever you want on that.
Yeah, there's no salary
cap.
That's
what I'm saying.
In the infrastructure game.
You could still spend on players, but do that too and spend way more. I agree with you. I mean, that is the most important thing that is going in this sport right now.
Bring
is that
me in.
Type of in. Yeah, obviously. Chaim Bloom, Jack Fritz. Yeah, sure.
Same guy. Both from here.
Yes. Hashtag from here. That's incredibly frustrating. And look, there are so many things we can point to with Klentak, and we will. But just on a basic level, to come into the season with the pitching staff he did and say, this works, this is going to be good, we're going to be fine. And then to use Ken Rosenthal's perfect word for it, the ambivalence he showed throughout the entire season while seeing these things weren't working, whether it's not signing Dallas Keuchel, whether it's not adding at the trade deadline, whether it's looking at the bullpen and guys like Mike Moran and Jared Hughes and Blake friggin' Parker coming out to pitch high leverage innings. Like, there are other things they could have done that wouldn't have crippled the future or whatever. They could have... All those things are, like, Matt Klentak is to blame for all that, for not adding to this team when they could have, not being smart in season as well as prior to the season. I mean, it's institutional failure with a lot of these things. But I want to get to Kapler, because I think that's the, again, we are both feel pretty confident that despite what we believe, despite what I think a lot of Phillies fans believe now in whether Klentak should come back or not, he's probably back. Where are you at with Kapler? I think that's the most interesting, hard to get a read on. Is he going to be gone? Is he not? Type of decision. I know which way I lean, but I wouldn't bet on it. Which way are you leaning? Will. You can say what you think, but will he be back?
I don't think he'll be back. I don't think he'll be back just because of, like, I think they're too worried about the business side of things, and they're too worried about the public perception and how, like, people will say, oh, I'm not buying tickets if Gabe Kapler's back. Well, listen, if they start winning, you're going to be back. Like, that's just pretty much as simple as that.
Yep.
And winning in an actually sustainable watching way.
Yes.
Like, not... We've watched this team last
year. We're too smart. Right. As Philadelphia, they've proven it. The last 2 years, they've proven that they're not going to buy into something that is not real.
Right. So, I don't think he's going to be back just because... Oh, unless Clint... Because Klentak's so arrogant that he might do it just despite the fans.
Right. I think if it's Klentak's decision, Kapler's back.
Oh, I think so too.
I don't think he's going to have a choice. That's my point.
I mean, Middleton fired Maley after the White Sox series when 31,000 people showed up for alumni weekend to see a team that was actually revered here. There was 25,000 people for a Braves series a night in a pennant race.
Yeah, and there were less than that. That was the what they said. Was
right.
And the Wednesday game of that, or whatever, the third game of that, on national television in front of a national audience. You got freaking A-Rod and whoever else here calling the game and all that.
I saw Smoltz that night.
Oh, Smoltz. That's
what I'm talking about. I went to the game and I saw Smoltz and I was like, I passed right by
that guy.
I don't hate him.
You hate him.
I don't like the way, it's so annoying the way he talks about modern baseball to where it's like a crime to like the modern baseball.
I'm not a big Smoltz guy.
But, and it's so annoying because the first time I heard him, I was like, oh my God, he's unbelievable. But I was so close to showing him my John Smoltz. I should have probably
You should have. That's
he probably would have enjoyed it. I do a really good John Smoltz.
All Jack does, for those who don't know, walking around the office is comes in and just mimics different windups.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I work on them all.
I know.
It's all about getting better.
You're pretty good at them.
Listen, you can't get better unless you're
right.
Unless you're
the problem
them.
Is you're
10,000 hours.
You haven't perfected the lefty. I mean, you do a great right-handed Cliff Lee.
Yeah,
but it's not Cliff Lee because it's right-handed.
My right-handed Cliff Lee, my right-handed Cole Hamels are probably two of my best.
They're amazing, but they're also not amazing.
I know.
Okay.
I'm not that talented, and I'm not that coordinated. But
at least you acknowledge it.
If I had Smoltz right in front of me. And he could have seen my Smoltz.
He probably would have been impressed. Plus, he's right-handed, so he'd probably even more.
Well, he probably would have chuckled and been like, beat it, nerd.
Yeah. Or have been like...
What a weirdo.
Security?
Yeah.
Security?
You're not a real press member, are you? Not really.
All right. So, back to the point. National television. Everybody seeing that. There was no one in that ballpark for a quote-unquote pennant chase. I agree with you. I think perception matters. I don't think Gabe Gabler's back either. Look, I think that... I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be back. I've had more issues with Kapler than you. I personally, and it doesn't matter, I wouldn't say hire and fire manager over it, but I'm tired of his relentless positivity. I just, it's enough. I'm sick of it. Did you see what he said after the game on Sunday? He's like, every game's game seven for now. It's like, shut up already, man. And more than that, I don't think, to your point, I don't think that's ever going to fly in this city. Like,
yeah, it's just a bad matchup.
Like, you can't have a situation, no matter what, again, I don't think teams should make decisions based on public perception, but you can't have a manager that your city hates, like, incessantly, obsessively hates.
Yeah, but they don't like him because he thinks progressively.
Well, I think the analytics is more of a front for people just not liking Gabe Kapler. It's because of the way he talks and the way he acts. It's because the analytics are only an issue because of the way he explains them, because of the way he talks about them. Like, if they just went out and used analytics and didn't talk about it, no one would be upset. Because
it's like the Eagles.
Exactly. It's exactly. The Eagles won a freaking Super Bowl by being at the forefront of NFL analytic use. And everyone's like, yay, good job, Doug.
It's your gut.
Yes, it's your gut.
It's your balls. Like, no, look, it's not.
It's all about how you package it. All right. It's all.
Type. Yeah.
Ah, see?
Ah, nice.
Hey.
Hey, yo.
That's the point. It's all about how you package it. So I'm with you. I think Gabe's probably gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's Francona 2.0.
Well,
fine.
And I think the situation that could set. Ooh, look at you.
It's going to be Francona 2.0. Wow. I'm not too worried about it.
I don't know. I think Gabe's a really solid tactical manager. I still think he has a lot to learn in terms of the leader of men part.
Well, I think
accountability and, you know, and presenting. Look, part of being a manager, like it or not, part of a manager's job is to be the public face of the franchise. You're the one who talks to me every freaking day, before a game, after a game. You are out there. You are the one explaining your organizational ideology to the public, to the media. Hear from Klentak, once a month or something like that? Like, so that is part of the job, and it's a part of the job that Gabe Kapler is horrendous at.
Yeah, and I almost feel like this team would respond better to an old school manager.
Sure.
Just looking at the players in the roster.
It's
like
a younger roster with a lot of those guys, which
makes
sense.
Well, it's a younger roster, but it also has Harper and Realmuto. And Harper in spring training said, like, to Boa, he was like, you were one of the managers I wanted to play for growing up. Like, so he just seems like he wants the older. And I think Middleton wants that here, and I think Middleton has his eye on Joe Maddon.
And I... Literally, that's where I was going to go, and I think what Middleton is setting up is a situation where his general manager and manager are going to be at odds. I mean, that is a situation where Joe Maddon is not going to do exactly what Matt Klentak wants him to do if he disagrees with it. He already has the cachet. He doesn't have to. I agree with you. I think Middleton wants, whether it's Maddon, whether it's Joe Girardi, he wants someone in here where he's saying, all right, I got rid of Gabe Kapler. I'm bringing an adult in here, a guy who has won it before, a guy who knows how to win, and this guy's in charge now, and that could create a friction type of situation with Klentak, whose guy is getting fired, and someone who he has maybe no say in whether he comes in or not. If Middleton wants Madden or Girardi, whether Klentak wants him or not won't matter.
Yep, it's going to be Middleton. And then when Joe Madden's here, he's going to bring in Aralys Chapman up 6 runs in game 6 and then have to bring him back in game 7, thinking ahead enough.
Buddy.
He's
overrated.
He's severely overrated.
I think here's the thing. I thought he was really good in Tampa.
Yeah. That's now everyone's caught up to everything he did.
Yeah. It's true. So it is interesting. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. That's a tough place.
Yeah, but he seems to run his course everywhere he goes.
He's been in 2 places. And I'll take the success for 5 years and then move on to another manager.
I'm trying to think of who does he remind me of? Like La Russa?
Oh, La Russa is the best manager of all time. Or at least of modern times, excuse me. Not
about Bochy?
Bochy's right there. He's one of them.
Did you see that Bochy stat?
Bochy's
the other day?
Right there. Oh, it was amazing.
1995. Yeah,
that was amazing. Bochy's right there. I think La Russa is the best manager in my lifetime, if I had to put it in. So I'd say he's not as good as La Russa.
But like La Russa, who was a guy that wore out his welcome and moved around like a good amount?
La Russa didn't move out.
He was just only Oakland and
St. Louis.
And St. Louis.
Yeah. Lou Piniella.
Right.
Lou Piniella was the exact type of guy.
Come in.
And Buck Showalter was the type of guy. Not quite great manager, but a similar type of guy.
I could definitely see Middleton wanting Buck Showalter or Mike Socha. And let me just put this out there now. If they hire Mike Socha.
Mike Socha is the ultimate no. There is no bigger no on the planet than Mike Socha. Buck Showalter at least is like open to new ways of thinking.
I don't hate Buck as much as I hate Mike Socha.
He actually did a decent job in Baltimore until they really just gave up on the team and he gave up on them.
Yeah, besides not bringing in Britton.
Yeah. That was a massive mistake.
I mean, that was one of those. The not bringing in Britton.
On the planet knew it was a horrible move.
I was sitting home like, what are you doing?
Yeah, Buck would not be high on my list, but I wouldn't like Mike Socha. I would riot.
Yes,
I would consider not being a fan of the Phillies anymore. Not quite, but I would be so mad if they brought Mike Socha.
I would be devastated.
He's my last choice. He's the last person on the list of available candidates. I'd rather they hired someone I've never heard of before. Don't go Trout with me. I know what you're doing here. Don't do it. No.
Bring Mike home. No. Socha would be a total disaster.
Oh, it's the worst possible hire they could make.
But I don't know. Like, I like Gabe. I think Gabe's a good manager. Mm-hmm. I totally understand where people come from, where they don't think he's genuine and maybe players don't buy into him. I just think this team, and I think Real Muto would respond better to an old school manager. I think Harper would respond better. I think Hoskins would respond better. I think Kingery.
Well, and especially coming off of Gabe. You know, that's something we saw with Boa to Charlie. You know, and we've seen it in the past in baseball history. Like when you go from and Gabe's not a hard ass, but like a polar opposite, where you go from someone who's super new age and wants to be your bud and all that, and then you go to someone who's a lot more like, all right, I'm your manager, you're the players, like we'll get along, but like what I say goes. Like
he's a baseball guy.
And again, to use the phrase before, the adult in the room type of guy. I do think that matters. To quote Brett Brown,
yeah,
you know, the James Butler, the adult in the room. Yeah. I think that matters in a clubhouse that is structured this way.
Yeah, it's gonna be it's just a fascinating offseason.
It's really fascinating.
They have to spend a lot of money. They're letting go a lot of minor league. Instructors, coordinators, coaches. They're not letting go of our boy.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, the only good move they've made in the last 3 years.
Literally. How do you think that happened? You think someone like underneath Klentak was like, yeah, sure, you could do it or something like that. Like they have a smart person in the front office who certainly couldn't have come from Klentak.
but it's just... I can't, for as much as I love baseball and I'm ready for the Phillies season to be over. Like
it's really sad coming from you because I feel like you're the last person.
When
you say that, it really is the end of the
Phillies. I've been dead. I've literally been dead inside since the Reds game. Like when I said that I felt like a deer that just got ran over. That's what I felt like. I haven't been able to really get up for a game since then.
Yeah.
Like that was it. That was it for me. They murdered me. They killed me. And
Phil Irvin. Shout out to Phil Irvin. No idea who he was.
And so getting through the playoffs. Playoffs are obviously going to be amazing. I can't, like, baseball playoffs are just the most underrated things in sports.
Oh, it's the best.
And to get to the offseason, knowing that they have holes to fill, the moves they made this offseason in this in season in trade deadline, I thought were moves that I hope, and this is my hope, I don't know if it's a fact, but I hope that it was the analytics department seeing something and being able to find value where there wasn't perceived value.
Sure.
Like, what, Mike Moreham stinks, but he's been okay.
Yeah.
Like, Jared Hughes was bad. He's been really good the last couple outings. I like Nick Vincent more than a lot of, like,
you're
almost
all
everyone.
In on the Nick
he's
Vincent
like my
joke.
Guy. He's got a really good spin rate on his four-seam fastball. I know that sounds a lot like Gabe. Really. He's got.
I like that idea. I love
He's got elite spin on his four-seam fastball, and I'm intrigued by him. He needs to have another pitch, but I'm intrigued. But, like, to find those guys,
sure.
Corey Dickerson, Jay Bruce was a steal.
Totally.
I hope. It is my hope that the analytics department is starting to find some underrated talent, because everyone they brought in, besides Corey Dickerson, I think Corey Dickerson was always a good hitter, just matter of saying how. He's basically Wilson Ramos. Like, that's what he was.
Sure.
For them to be able to find underrated assets in season was good. Now I want to see that translate over to the offseason. Find me some kind of stud pitcher out of nowhere.
Yes.
Make an interesting move. There was no real interesting, like a
Charlie
J.D.
Morton,
Davis trade.
Like we talk, or like Charlie Morton last offseason. Charlie Morton signed for 2 years, $15 million. He was one of the best pitchers in the American League this year.
Two years,
15 each. He was one of the best pitchers in the American League this year. Point blank.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm getting excited again.
Oh, man.
We're back. I can't wait.
I am excited for the offseason.
I can't wait for first emergency podcast. Okay. What is going to be our first emergency podcast?
You know, it's sad what it's going to be.
The gay firing podcast?
Yeah, it's going to be that. That's going to happen first. Then we will definitely probably be the only scouting director hire emergency podcast that'll happen.
Give me 2 hours.
Yeah, that might be the longest podcast we've ever
block
done.
Out that studio two for 2 hours.
Well, that's the thing. I think we'll get a real read on how we should feel about the offseason from that move. Because you figure that move will happen sooner rather than later once the offseason begins. Certainly before any free agency stuff. This year we'll know that we're not doing any free agency or emergency podcast till like February or March.
Yeah.
So we won't like freak out the way we did this time. We'll follow it all. We'll go crazy, but we'll know.
Offseason was blue balls, and the actual season was blue balls.
I know. So the scouting director hired, that's going to be a big deal. Like, do they go outside the organization? Do they hire someone from a smart organization? It doesn't matter whether you've ever heard that guy's name before. You probably won't have. Like, maybe Jack has. But, like, I bet most people won't. And it doesn't matter. It's just, is it the Phillies promoted X or Y from wherever in the organization?
Don't do it.
Or did the Phillies hire X or Y from the Rays or the Indians? That's going to be a massive thing.
Dude, if they... All right. There's only six teams they're allowed to hire from.
Ooh, I like this.
There's only six teams.
Okay. Rays, Indians,
Rays,
Yankees,
Indians, Yankees,
Dodgers,
Astros, Dodgers.
So that's five. That's an easy five.
It's an easy five. I think, all right, there's got to be, who am I? Cubs, no.
No. Padres have done well recently.
Yeah, but they've been at the top of drafts.
I know. I'm with you.
A's?
A's is a good one. I mean, Billy Bean? Still killing it,
by
man.
The way, Billy Bean and Andy McPhail have the same exact title. Any difference there? Notice any difference?
All right. So,
anyone else? Any other obvious teams? Diamondbacks? No.
I mean, the Cardinals are usually run pretty well.
Yeah, but they've been Jack Squats and Chef Lou now into the Astros.
No. I'm saying no.
I know.
No, I don't think there's any other.
Oh, Red Sox? No.
I mean, who's in charge even?
I know.
I mean, like Mike Hazen's really smart.
There's five.
That's what I'm saying. There are five. There are five.
You're only allowed, dear Phillies.
Dear Phillies.
You're only allowed to hire from these five teams.
Done.
Indians, Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, Rays.
It is decided.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Maybe the sprinkle in the A's.
Flash forward to Phillies promote.
Phillies hire someone from the Orioles.
I want to hear hire, not promote. Yeah, that I could see it. Like Angels or something. Oh, I know him. He's my buddy.
If they hire someone from the Angels, fold the franchise.
Fold the franchise. Seriously. I'm serious about that. All right. Notebag.
I got nothing.
Nothing.
I got nothing. I was very locked in on Saturday's game, and then it happened again.
Yeah, and then
I just was like, are you kidding
me?
Yeah,
I was the exact same way. Yeah. I was so locked in on that game.
I love watching Gabe Kapler get kicked out of games.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing in the world. And you have Harper calling him a sissy.
It's great. Look, one thing I will say, and whether it's to Gabe's credit or the players or whatever, this, if nothing else, to take a positive away for a lot of the guys who will be back next year, this team is not folded like they did last year. No. They're just not that good. They've showed us for the entire season they are a 500 mediocre baseball team. They haven't folded. At least they're playing hard. At least they're fighting. And, I mean, you know, literally that's more than we could say for them last year.
Well, Klentak did a good job finding culture guys. Like, he factored in the culture stuff this year. And they are a likable team that doesn't have enough talent.
That's about it.
That's what they are. Yeah. Like, they're a likable team that just doesn't have enough talent. And
likable minus Sean Rodriguez.
Yeah. Well, I actually like him now.
And Jason Vargas.
Vargy?
Vargas is back, by the way. We can use the nickname again.
You had a good stretch run there.
Yeah.
Five runs.
Jason Vargas. I mean, nine starts. I'm not a big pitcher wins guys, but still has not won a game as a Philly, so.
Derek Lowe bobblehead in here.
Wow. Did someone get that for you?
That fits me.
People know you're a big Derek Lowe guy?
Big Derek Lowe guy.
All right, final.
Oh, wait, hold on. Speaking of Derek Lowe.
Oh, gosh.
Did you see that Twins pitcher that has Derek Lowe like sink, but it's 100 miles an hour?
No. What's his name?
Watching it, it didn't seem. It's like Trinan. It's like what Trinan can do.
Oh, yeah. Like witch like stuff.
Yeah, it shouldn't even be legal. What? Now I forget his name. It was like a really, really cool name.
As expected.
Yeah.
It should be Brustar
Graterol.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
I own him in a dynasty league I'm in, but I had no idea that he came up.
Yeah.
That's really fun. He's nasty.
100 miles an hour.
Amazing numbers in the minors. I've never seen him pitch before. I just knew. I own him in a dynasty league team. That is. Well, let me see this, Jack Sherrington. Oh, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is nasty.
Yeah.
That's some unhittable type stuff right there. Brustar Graterol.
Throws over 100. Phillies are not interested. In that Klentak era,
that was a automatic no. Well, to 100, no, I'm out. I don't even want to watch him pitch.
Right. I would also like to welcome the Philadelphia Eagles to the 2019 Philly season.
Oh no, don't do it.
Did you see all those injuries last night?
Oh god.
Now imagine that, but for 162 games.
Oh, buddy.
Imagine that.
Now you're a bundle of joy today.
No, my final thought is. The Arizona Fall League.
There it is.
There it is. I will be live streaming, probably live tweeting. It is now my playoffs is the Arizona Fall League. If I get Ammoniac, Bohm, Howard, like going off in the Arizona Fall League, like this is what separates the men from the boys. Like Alonzo last year in the Arizona Fall League went off. He had the tank shot off of Nate Pearson. Like, give me some of that. Give me some of that. You got Joey Bart and Alec Bohm on the same team. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. For as much as everyone's like, oh, the Phillies aren't going to make the playoffs, the Arizona Fall League is our playoffs. With the Phillies have never sent anyone interesting to the Arizona Fall League. Literally ever.
You are so jacked right now.
I can't wait.
The most excited you've been the entire podcast.
I've been depressed since the Red Series, okay? I need a little life.
I rate and review the podcast. All right. You're not going to hear it. Jack just edited something out. It's hilarious. He's Fritz. I'm Seltzer. We'll see you later.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.